What's up? This movie's on up. Bonus mini-sode. Happy anniversary. I'm Dave.
I'm Ryan.
This is another mini-episode where we're cutting discussion parts from past episodes, putting them into a new episode. This comes from an episode from December 12th, 2012. If you're keeping track at home, that's 12-12-12. This one came to me. It was one of those weeks where we didn't have a discussion planned, and I think I sent Ryan something on Saturday when we record on Monday. I sent him something on Saturday. It's like, hey, would you be down for doing this? Harry Knowles from Ain't It Cool News every year has a Butt-Numathon, which is just a 24-hour movie marathon. So what I thought, let's each just pick six movies and kind of schedule our own little 24-hour mini-marathon. The thought processes were different. Ryan went really long movies.
Really long, really Oscar-heavy. I don't know why I did that.
I went like just movies that I could see if I'm watching, you know, 12 movies in a row, what could I sit through? So it's cool that we both did have different thought processes, and I thought it turned out fun.
I don't know what my thought process was. I mean, I think there was a certain level of synergy to your movies. Mine were just like, hey, this is a cool movie I haven't talked about yet. You should watch this.
I think I can name one of my movies, but I don't know what I did for any of the others.
I can name one just because we talked about it for a bit, but that's really about it. Yeah. I don't know what my other four were. So I guess we'll find out together.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was a fun one. And like I said, I like doing stuff like this because it does make you, anything that makes me look at movies in a different way, I'm for. And that's every time we do something like this, I go into it thinking one thing, but when I sit down and try to come up with it, I always come out a different way just because I do look at it differently than I thought I would. So,
and this one was weird because a lot of times we have kind of like a theme to work within. There was no stated theme.
No, so it was pick six movies.
Any six in the history of movies.
Not your six favorite movies.
Right.
Because we did, we each did.
I could have picked Star Wars and just done them all.
One thing we did each have in common was that I didn't want to do like three horror. I tried not to do two of the same genre. Because if I did two action movies and Ryan did one or two, that's a big chunk of it. So it was just a weird thought process, but it was a lot of fun. So, I mean, just think to yourself, if you were going to watch six movies in a row, any movies you wanted, what would they be? And if you were going to watch them with somebody, like, because I know that was a large part of them, is what would we want to introduce to people?
Yeah, I think that's most of it with me, is if I'm going to see, okay, if I have you for, you know, 24 hours, and if you haven't seen any of these movies, or if you've never seen a movie in your life, you're some kind of mutant, these are the ones I'm going to show you. You're probably not going to enjoy them, but I feel like you should see them.
Yeah. Again, though, this was total ripoff of Harry Knowles from Ain't It Cool News, so I feel weird putting it out there without giving him
checks in the mail.
Yeah, proper due. But, yeah, so we'll talk to you on the other side of the discussion, but here it is, our fake 24-hour movie marathon.
Dave planted some seeds earlier on in the week about Harry Knowles of Ain't It Cool News did his annual movie marathon. He watches six movies over the course of a weekend. So Dave and I thought it might be fun to have the first annual Movies on Up Watch Fest.
I called it the Movies on Up Sit Down Fest.
Oh, I was going to ask how beholden you were to that name, because I titled my Microsoft Word document Sit Down with Movies on Up. So I think we were on the same.
Either one of those works.
Yeah.
Either one works. Yeah, I like Sit Down Fest.
Yeah, I'm okay with that because it's really clever because it works with our name. So yeah, that's it's one of those things that Dave and I said, but we're sitting
down. But basically
down.
What it is yeah. is yeah, why don't you explain not to cut that. Ryan off. Harry Knowles every year, I think it's the 14th year now, he has what's called a Butt-Numathon, which is just a 24-hour film marathon. And, I mean, he plays movies he loves. He gets, like, he plays new movies. And now it's become, like, a big thing. Like, newer movies are sending trailers that aren't even released yet. It's got a Comic-Con type feel. Like, there's footage and exclusive stuff at that. So I thought, oh, that'd be cool to do, like, a 24-hour film marathon. So why don't we just schedule 12 movies?
Well, neither of us know what the other six movies are, but, I mean, this could be over 24 hours. We don't know, because I think some of my movies are kind of long. But at any rate, we do have 12. that we're going to give you. And
the goal of it was I wanted to encompass our tastes, like what we love about movies, and try to. So it's not necessarily just our six favorite movies, because this list is way different than my top six movies.
Yeah, I like all these, but none of them are in my.
We wanted to do it to where it encompasses our taste. So, like, I love, you know, Sunshine, 28 Days Later, Children of Men, Moon. I love all of those for about the same reasons. So it wouldn't make sense to have all four of those. Yeah, actually, none of them ended up having it. There's something else representing it. But so I didn't want to have movies that are the same. Wanted to, and I tried to look at it as if I'm going to sit down and watch 12 movies in a row, what is going to be, what do I want to watch?
Like,
I obviously don't want the same thing over and over again. And I tried to put some excitement in there where it's not just long talky stuff.
Sure. So do you want to go ahead and start? Do the first one?
I'll start because I'm getting people hooked.
Yeah.
Like, I'm getting people
Mine aren't going to hook you.
I'm getting you in. I like a dumb action movie. Like, I like when there's story or a strong lead. Like, Beverly Hills Cop, Point Break, Last Boy Scout. Like, those are some of my favorites of that genre.
Is this one a Christmas movie?
It is a Christmas movie.
I know where
so
you're going
we're
with
starting
this.
Off.
I like it.
Yes. Yeah, so we're starting off mainstream. We're starting off with something everybody's seen. So
one of the best action movies of all time.
I would say yes.
Yeah.
If not the best. It's one of the first ones that introduced a story. There was a good story to it. It wasn't just blowing up stuff. Die Hard. That's a good way to kick off
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, it's probably not in my top six of all time, but shit, I'd watch Die Hard.
Of all time either, but if I'm going to watch 12 movies in a row and the first one's Die Hard, all right.
Yeah.
Check that one off. I don't care. Like, it's not even going to feel like it. Like,
no, and I'm glad you started off with a bang, because I certainly didn't. I like sci-fi movies, and I feel like the best ones and the best sci-fi directors have their own distinct visual style and representation of the future, if it's going to be set in the future. You can think of Ridley Scott when he did Blade Runner, and as much as I don't like Brazil, really, Terry Gilliam did a hell of a job stylistically with that movie. As did Fritz Lang in 1927 when he did Metropolis. It's German Impressionism and Art Deco got together, had sex, and shit out this thing. It's a film that, oddly enough, Fritz Lang doesn't even like or didn't like when he talked about it here towards the end of his life. And I'm guessing it's probably because it was kind of co-opted by Goebbels and the Nazis as kind of a justification for their own social revolution that they did. I think it's a great example of not only man versus technology, it's also man versus man from a long-ass time ago. And it has what I think is one of the most interesting and introspective, I guess. It's a silent movie, but there's a title card towards the end of the movie that said, "The intermediary between the hand and the brain is the heart." And I thought that's a really nice message to have. So I kind of like it.
So our first two are kind of similar.
Really, really similar. Yeah.
For the third movie, my second, I love crime movies. Absolutely love them. I love, like, epic, sweeping, like, crime movies, like Heat.
I got one of those on there.
Yeah, I love, like, Heat. I love, like, when you can mix, like, comedy and action and crime movies like Snatch or Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
Yeah, I like those, too.
So I thought, okay, if you've listened to this show for long, there's two crime movies that I've mentioned quite a bit, and I couldn't decide. It was a hard time. I ended up cutting Way of the Gun. Way of the Gun was in the final two to go. And I went with one that's not going to surprise anybody because it did mix that element of comedy in it also. And it's in Bruges. Love it. It's just such a good movie. And I think I don't think either of them. I think more people have seen In Bruges than Way of the Gun. But I still don't think enough people have seen In Bruges.
Oh, fair enough. And I don't think, I mean, neither of us saw Seven Psychopaths yet, have we?
No.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, it's kind of relevant in that, you know, you just came out with a new movie with Colin Farrell. So. Check out both of them, maybe.
But, yeah. So,
In Bruges for our movie marathon. My second movie, I like a good mystery movie, one that really, really kind of draws you in. And I'm not, you know, the type of person that tries to figure out where the movie's going. I'd rather just kind of let the movie take me where it's going. With that being said, sometimes you really can't help it. Sometimes a director has his shit together and he just kind of pulls you in and makes you an accomplice in what you see on the screen. And I kind of feel like Alfred Hitchcock did that in 1954's Rear Window. Jimmy Stewart watches his neighbors kind of with the same interest that you watch them and him watching the movie. the master of suspense, I kind of feel like, earns his nickname here, and I'm not one to tell you how poor or great a film's direction is, because I'm not a fucking director. Whatever. Except in this case, I feel like this is a perfectly crafted movie. It's fucking great. It might be my favorite Hitchcock movie of all the stuff he did.
Well, that sucks, because my third one was actually going to be Disturbia.
Oh, really?
No.
I was going to say, wow.
No, but...
this is a better version.
for my third one, I love horror. I love horror movies. The way a horror movie hits me most is if there's comedy mixed in with it. So, like, Shaun of the Dead and Gremlins are, like, top two, like, horror comedies for me. I'm pretty sure everybody's seen them. 28 Days Later, probably my favorite movie ever. I feel like it's been seen enough. Even something like The Signal is like under the radar, but it's not really something I want to see in the middle of a big marathon thing. So I went with something that we talked about a lot in October for our horror movie month, something that I don't think enough people have seen, mixes comedy and horror perfectly, Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. I think you're right. I don't think enough people have seen it. And it is really, really a good choice.
It's a fantastic
like
fucking
that.
Movie, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's easy to watch. It's one of those that's a fast hour and a half.
Yeah. This next one, not quite as fast. I like a good Western as much as the next guy. Maybe not quite as much as the next guy, depending on who you are. I just kind of like the idea of folks doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do. It's kind of simplistic, but motivations in Westerns a lot of times are. Sometimes you just get paid to run off some banditos, and that's as simple as it is. Yul Brynner, Steve McQueen, James Coburn, and Charlie Bronson all paid to do the right thing in John Sturges' Magnificent Seven from 1960. Now, most folks realize it's a remake of Akira Kurosawa's Seven Samurai. I love both movies, but some of you might find subtitles and basic literacy a challenge, so I just decided to go with the English version. So check it out. You can flip on your TV, and you will likely find it. Odd, interesting fact about it. It has been televised more than any other movie, save Wizard of Oz.
How would you feel about a Tom Cruise remake?
A Tom Cruise remake of Magnificent Seven?
Yeah.
It's been remade several times.
But not with Tom Cruise.
No, not with Tom Cruise. It's,
All right. I like comedies. I'm a big comedy fan. I so badly wanted to put Superbad here or something from the 80s, like even Beverly Hills Cop or Ghostbusters, or kind of wanted to put Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in here. But then I went way off the fucking radar. Not way off the fucking radar. I went north of the border up to Canada for a comedy that came out, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago. I didn't look up the exact year, that I think is fucking great. A little film called Young People Fucking. One of the best comedies I've seen in a long time. The dialogue is fucking great. The situations that people are put in are fantastic. It's just such a fun fucking movie to watch. It's just such a blast, and I not nearly enough people have seen it.
I haven't seen it, so that's a good call. Maybe I will.
Watch it. That's your mission for next week.
Okay. Well, I tell you what. This next movie, I love me some X-rated movies. And if you haven't seen this one, maybe this is your mission for next week. In the history of Forevers, only two X-rated movies have been nominated for an Oscar. Clockwork Orange and this one, which actually won Best Picture in 1969, John Schlesinger's Midnight Cowboy. Also won for Best Director and Best Adapted Screenplay. Dustin Hoffman and John Voight both nominated for Best Actor, and they fucking lost to John Wayne. Rooster Cogburn in True Grit. Sylvia Miles also nominated for this movie for Best Supporting Actress, despite being in the movie for only about 5 minutes. Eat that, Hannibal. For my money, that's M-O-N-Y, Dustin Hoffman gives one of his best performances ever. After seeing the shit he makes now, this will remind you that there, once upon a time, he was a fucking great actor. Wonderfully acted movie all the way around. And I feel like that's, you know, sometimes you just want to see a movie where actors act. And this, Dustin Hoffman will break your fucking heart in this movie. He's great.
All right, this next one, I went to sci-fi. I wouldn't consider myself a sci-fi fan because I don't just like random sci-fi, but when sci-fi is done well, they're among my favorite movies. So this one I had, you know, Moon, District 9, Sunshine, Children of Men, any of those could have went. I could name off probably 10 more that I could have done, but I went with something a little safer. Probably a lot of people have seen it, but if not, it's way more fun than the others. It's way more upbeat, and if you haven't seen it, you really should. So I went with Serenity.
Yeah, that's good.
Because I'm looking like, okay, we have like 4 movies left. What's going to wake people up? What's going to be a fast watch? What's going to get everybody going? Serenity.
And I saw Serenity before I watched Firefly. So it can be done.
Yes.
Yeah.
I wouldn't suggest that. No, I wouldn't either. But if you have to.
Yeah, I had to because Fox pulled it off the air. What are you going to do? You talked about crime movies earlier. I got a crime movie. And more specifically, a heist movie. I feel like that's kind of a subgenre. Ocean's 11, I thought was really, really cool. Inside Man was awesome. You look at Dog Day Afternoon, which was great. And The Town, more recently. All really good movies. It's a good genre, especially when you can kind of root for the criminals. And when they steal from even badder guys, all the better. And when they have the dreamy blue eyes of Paul Newman, even more all the better. Robert Redford, nominated for Best Actor in George Roy Hill's The Sting from 1973. The movie won 7 Academy Awards that year out of 10 nominations. It's another one of those movies that you're going to try and figure out what's coming up next, but you're not going to. And it is absolutely a fun ride. Redford and Paul Newman, they were actually both directed by George Hill in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. They got such good chemistry together. This is a great ensemble movie, and those are just two fucking movie stars.
Yeah, for my last one, I like epic, like, especially fantasy. Like, you could count Star Wars in there. You could count Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
But
you want more epic than Lord of the Rings
and
Star Wars.
No, I want less epic because I've just watched 22 movies in a row. So I don't want to go like Lord of the Rings, one of them, or Star Wars, or any of these. Like, so I thought, okay, what's an epic saga that takes place in one film? I think Princess Bride and like a movie like Stardust have that feel of like an epic saga wrapped up into one movie.
But you didn't pick either of those.
No.
You went with an older movie.
I went with an older movie. That,
starring a small man.
Yes, that if you've ever heard me talk, yes. You know I love this movie. So my final is Willow. Movie from, I don't know, late 80s.
What are you looking at me for? This is your movie. I got all mine, son.
Yeah, I didn't write down years. It's just such a good fucking movie. It's fun. It's funny. It's engaging. Val Kilmer gives, I think, the best performance of his career. Like, most likable.
Well.
I mean, most like his most fun performance of his career.
Yeah, that might
even
be.
Compared to, like, Top Secret or Real Genius. Like, he's just such a good character. And he plays it perfectly. Everybody in the movie nails it. It's
Warwick Davis, awesome.
Yeah, I mean,
from Star Wars.
The effects, if you can put aside, the effects aren't terrible.
No,
some of
the
brownie
stuff
looks bad.
Right.
But you're talking 20-some years ago. If you can put that aside, it's a fucking great movie. And it's just an awesome, awesome movie. It's epic. Yeah, it's probably longer than I'd want after for my 23rd movie in a row, but fuck it, it doesn't feel long at all.
I guess I didn't really consider length when I did these, and this would be the last movie in the marathon. I like new movies, like movies from the mid-70s. I also like black comedies, and it doesn't get much blacker.
Is it Shaft?
It is not Shaft. It is not any Madea movies, you racist bastard. It doesn't get much blacker than a dude promising to kill himself on network TV, which is exactly what Peter Finch wins what was, at the time, the first posthumously awarded Oscar for his performance in 1976 Network. It was the last movie to win 3 out of the 4 acting awards. Finch won, obviously. Faye Dunaway won Best Actress, and Beatrice Straight won for Best Supporting Actress with a grand total of 5 minutes and 40 seconds of screen time. Didn't win Best Picture, though. That went to fucking Rocky. Yeah, let that sink in. If you've ever tried to watch TV and you felt a little bit dirty for enjoying some of the shit that gets cranked out, rejoice, you self-righteous pricks, and enjoy Network, because I did.
What's disgusting about this movie is how far ahead of its time it was.
How right it is.
Everything in that fucking movie is relevant today. What's that, 30, 47 years?
1976.
Yeah. 37 years later? 36 years later? It's fucking relevant still. Like, it nailed everything. It was spot on. Like, you talk about movies coming out ahead of their time or getting it right, and this did both. And it's got one of the most epic, most quoted scenes in movie history.
Most quoted
ever.
Scenes that you don't know where it came from.
Yeah.
That's
so,
it.
I mean, it's a solid choice.
Yeah. If you want to get what we're talking about, and this for a while was on my MySpace page. So find me on MySpace, and you may find the clip still on there. And
I'm mad as hell.
Yes.
I'm not going to take it anymore.
Absolutely. That's a fucking great scene. And
the scene won the Oscar, I think.
Yeah, the scene won the Oscar. But listen to what the man says,
That's the scarier part.
Yes. This will encapsulate exactly what Dave just said about how far ahead of its time this movie was and how relevant it is now. And you know, regardless of where you stand on things, you know, some of it will at least ring
like,
true.
Like, I don't think it could be made today because it's too spot on.
Yeah,
I really do.
I think
it's too close to reality.
Yeah,
that it
I think
could...
in 76, people thought, oh, shit, TV will never be like this. Now people would be like, yeah, what's it wouldn't be shocking.
You wouldn't be able to do it without doing it tongue in cheek. Like, you would have to have your fake Housewives clips and stuff like that.
Yeah.
In it. Like, and it would just, it wouldn't be as relevant. It wouldn't be as impactful. But yeah, that's a good way to close it out.
I like it. I think our choices were pretty different, but they're all good movies. So maybe you don't watch all 12 of them. Maybe pick six that you like. Put in six of your own, or don't do it at all. But we've at least given you 12 really, really good movies. Well, at least 11. I don't know the one movie you talked about. I haven't seen
Young People Fucking.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's got one of the best dirty talk scenes ever. It's so fucking good. The movie's just, it's so funny. It's just really fucking good. So, yeah, watch that. You want to go through our schedule real quick? I got Die Hard.
Okay, mine was Metropolis.
In Bruges.
Rear Window.
Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon.
The Magnificent Seven.
Young People Fucking.
Midnight Cowboy.
Serenity.
The Sting.
Willow.
And Network.
That's your 24-hour marathon right there.
Yeah, take that. A lot of Oscars in there. On my side.
On your side.
Yeah.
Mine, not so much.
Good movies on Dave's side, too, though. Actually, I think Willow probably got nominated for some stuff. Yeah, sure it did. Matt Mardigan, best actor.
That discussion felt like it was 24 hours long. Am I right?
No, it was, no. It was a breeze. Flew
minutes.
Right by.
Yeah, so that was fun. Again, thanks for listening to these episodes, whenever you're finding them, whether they're our anniversary week or you're just stumbling on them later. Schedule your own 12-6 movie marathon. Send it to us, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, twitter.com@moviesonup.
Yeah, that's a rough one. It doesn't work with all the other ones. We should quit Twitter.
Each discussion episode, we try to give a specific watch this suggestion, something you watch with a theme. This is not just a movie. We're going to suggest a franchise that you could watch straight through.
Yeah, I'll go first, because I think you were kind of intimating that I should go first. I'm not going to pick Star Wars. I'm not going to pick Alien. Those are both...
Well, each of those, well, Star Wars, you would have to do 1 through 3. Alien, you would have to do the last one.
What do you mean I would do 1 through 3 in Star Wars?
You would have to do 1 through 6.
Yes.
Instead of just 4, 5, and 6. You
right.
don't want to watch 1 through 6.
Oh, you don't think I've done that before? Ugh. I mean, I have. Didn't do Lord of the Rings. I mean, those are all... with the exception of the Aliens ones, because they kind of branch off at the end, I've watched all the Star Wars ones, and I've watched all the Alien movies, with the exception of the late ones, and I've done Lord of the Rings. But I have never sat down and watched all the Bourne movies, but I'd like to, especially the first three. I think it almost works better if you watch them all right after each other, because then you can really figure out what the hell's going on.
Yeah. I took a different approach. I have watched these three together. This is... the perfect franchise for if you're just going to be cleaning up around the house on a Saturday, put them all on to play back-to-back and tell me you don't laugh the whole day. Beverly Hills Cop. Yeah, 2 and 3 kind of mixed together. 3 kind of a drop-off in quality, but it's still got some moments. Just Eddie Murphy in that character. I would have watched 6 of these movies if they made them. I mean, I like Axel Foley a lot, so... I have watched Beverly Hills Cop 1 through 3 in the same day.
And you could do worse than bopping around the house, you know, running the sweeper. Me,
here,
except Eddie Murphy
doing
me,
it. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. I like those movies.
Yeah.
We hope you liked this discussion and all of our episodes.
Not this one in particular.
We didn't make you stick around this long. But,
no, but thanks. We appreciate it.
We appreciate it. Until next time. Hopefully there is a next time.
Keep it up.